Good morning and welcome to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori on this Saturday morning. So glad you can join me where I am every Saturday morning right here on WLIW 88.3 FM Southampton, serving Eastern Long Island and Southern Connecticut, 96.9 in Western Suffolk, and streaming at WLIW.org/radio and on your favorite streaming platforms. And each show is archived on my website at annliguori.com. That's annliguori.com. And distributed on my podcasts on Audio Boom and iTunes. This morning, I bring you an in-depth show on golf in Ireland. One-third of the world's links courses are on the Emerald Isle, amidst inspiring, beautiful scenery and welcoming hospitality. In this show, you will hear my conversation from a program that Tourism Ireland put together at this year's PGA show with three of the finest representatives of Ireland. Paul McGinley, whom you know as a former PGA Tour and European Tour player, a former Ryder Cup captain and player, and golf broadcaster. Alison Metcalf, EVP Tourism Ireland, and Gary McNeil, the head golf professional at Royal Portrush, which hosted the 2019 Open Championship, and they'll be hosting the 2025 Open Championship. We cover a lot of ground on subjects pertaining to golfing in Ireland, from the links and parkland courses, the variety of accommodations, accessibility, why Ireland produces so many champions in golf, and what the essence and soul of golf in Ireland really means. And then John McLaughlin, CEO of Northwest Coast Irish Links, focuses on that beautiful region in Ireland and all it has to offer. Hope you enjoyed this show on golfing in Ireland. Great to be here and great to see so many familiar faces. I want to talk about one of my favorite places on the planet, and that's Ireland, and what makes Ireland so special and at the center of the golf world. I'm delighted to be joined by former Ryder Cup captain, player, European Tour winner, media personality, and broadcaster Paul McGinley.
Thank you.
Tourism Ireland EVP of North America, Alison Metcalf. And the head golf professional at Royal Portrush, Gary McNeil. So we're going to start. We're going to go right to it. We're going to start with Paul. Ireland has one-third of the world's links courses, beautiful and challenging parkland courses, some of the finest hospitality in the world, and we'll be hosting the 2025 Open at Royal Portrush, the 2027 Ryder Cup at Adair Manor, this year's Irish Open at the K Club, starting September 7th. The Women's Irish Open at Dromoland, starting August 31st. I mean, there's a lot of buzz, Paul, in Ireland in golf, don't you think?
Yeah, thank you. And Ireland is, and thank you everybody for coming today. Ireland is buzzing, you know. If we're at a stock, we're higher than we've ever been before. Many of our golf courses are sold out next year, as everybody knows. And we're flying, you know, and I think it's not a coincidence that we've had a strategy behind that, and Alison and Tourism Ireland have been very much part of that. I've been part of that too over the last number of years. I've seen the investments, like all good things and all good businesses. It starts with investments and adhering to proper fundamentals, and we've certainly done that in Ireland. And as people have come to Ireland and experienced the uniqueness of our links golf courses, there's only a few countries in the world that can offer the opportunity to play these links golf courses. And obviously the British Isles is that, and Ireland in particular, and people are gravitating towards Ireland with our hospitality and our crack, as we call it in Ireland. I remember when I came over here to college first, I kept talking about crack, and it was obviously a different meaning over here. And I was quickly told not to mention that word over here, but here I am using it again. It's just amazing, you know. We're seeing Irish whiskey as well, if I can move into that. And I know Irish people like to talk a lot about alcohol, but, you know, Irish whiskey, for the first time ever now, has surpassed the sales of Scotch in the world. So, you know, we are combining some great things in Ireland, and it's real, it's authentic. Obviously, the whiskey is coming from Ireland and Irish water, and the golf courses, I've been there for, you know, well over 100 years, many of them, and it's great that they're being highlighted now. It's great that they're being enjoyed. And also, we're creating a great ancillary product around it. You know, improvements in roads, our improvements in our hospitality, our food is absolutely amazing. And of course, then we put in the crack and a few drinks on top of it all. So all in all, we're all very proud of what we have here. Every one of us here in the room is Irish, is very, very proud of the success of Ireland, because it brings a lot of money into the economy and money that we obviously need at this moment in time.
Nothing like Irish crack, for sure. Paul, another one, Rory, Padraig, Shane Lowry, Seamus Power, Leona Maguire, Darren Clark, for a small country. Ireland is just loaded.
I wish
loaded.
I was on that list.
Yeah. I know, right? Well, you're on our panel, so. I mean, just Ireland's just loaded with talent. Why do you think that's the case?
I think it's the same thing, and go back to the fundamentals. You know, I've learned a lot over the years, and one of them is Jack Nicklaus always talked about the key to great golf was adhering to fundamentals. And I just add one thing in, if I can correct Nicklaus a little bit, and say fundamentals that apply to you. I think what we've seen in terms of Ireland, I spoke earlier about working on the fundamentals, and there's a strategy behind what we're doing to flower now as a golfing destination. I think when you look at the success of Irish golf, and myself and Gary were very much products of that, where we played amateur golf together, we represented Ireland together. From a very, very young age, you're fed into the system. There's financial money in there, there's coaching in there, and there's expertise in there to help you on your journey, and that culminates in a lot of major championship winners that you've just mentioned there. It's no coincidence. It's no coincidence. Again, there's a strategy behind it, and a lot of credit to the Golfing Union of Ireland, who have really invested well at junior level. Anybody who shows any kind of form, boy or girl, at a young age, no matter what part of the country it is, they're fed into the system, and then we have a really brilliant competitive environment to play when you get to the elite amateur level. And not alone do you play against really good players and good organization and good tournaments to play in, but you play on amazing golf courses. You know, in Ireland, we have our four major championships in amateur, north, south, east, and west of Ireland. And the four courses that are played on are Lahinch, Baltrae, Royal Portrush, and Ross's Point. You know, four of our very, very finest, and that's where we play our four major amateur championships. So not alone do we have the competition, but we also have the opportunity to play the best courses.
It seems like every time I go to Ireland, I see young people doing clinics and playing, and over here a lot of young people tend to play team sports.
Yeah.
But golf seems to be very encouraged and very accessible for young people at a very early age.
Yeah, I think we do it all. I think certainly I did growing up, and Gary the same growing up. We weren't just focused from the age of 13, 14 on golf. We're encouraged to play all kinds of sport. In Ireland, I played Gaelic football, I played hurling, I played soccer. I didn't play basketball for obvious reasons. And then I started to play golf. But all of that culminated, and certainly when it came to my captaincy in the Ryder Cup, the experience I had at junior level, particularly playing as part of these football teams and hurling teams, certainly stood me in good stead when I moved on to play professionally golf and part of a team. So I think anybody here and here who's a parent and has got young kids who are keen on following the path of being a golfer, my advice to them would be, certainly up to the age of 16 or 17, play as many sports, encourage them to play as many sports as they can. And don't isolate yourself to one sport from a very, very early age. It's important to keep that going, because the hand-eye coordination and that, you know, ability to share, because golf can be a very insular game and a very selfish game in some way. So it's important that as young, developing teenagers, that they play a variety of sports.
We'll move on to Gary and come back to you in a second. Royal Portrush put on such a great show in 2019. Incredible. And Shane Lowry to win was just so magical. Can you talk a little bit about the preparations? Only in a few more years, 2025, Royal Portrush is going to be hosting another Open Championship.
Yeah, it's coming around very quickly, and that's no surprise. The championship went so well the first time around. And the preparations at Portrush for 2019 involved quite a bit of construction. You know, we needed to change our two finishing holes, and they disappeared to make way for the tented village build and infrastructure that was required for the championship. So we set about building two new holes, which turned out extremely well, and they were very well received by all the players during the event. We had to accommodate, obviously, the spectators that were going to be coming through as well. So there was a lot went into place for 2019. The blueprint essentially is there now for 2025. The RNA have already started to make some visits to back to Royal Portrush again. And, much of what's happening is just small tweaks here and small tweaks there, some new tee positions on the golf course. And I think in increasing the areas for spectators on the golf course is a big thing. And, you have to think that they're obviously going to encourage more people to come in to watch the championship. So, preparations are well underway. And, we're looking forward to it.
You actually played in the Open Championship in 2019. What was that like?
It was pretty nerve-wracking, to be honest. I was very glad to get off that first tee in one piece. But I'd put in quite a bit of preparation. Typically, the role of the playing marker falls on the club professional. And the other club professionals at the host venues were very generous with their information before the championship with regards to retail and everything else. But that was one of the things that I was chatting to them about. So I was adamant I was going to have a go at it and do it. And I'm glad I prepared well. I went back and played a lot more than I had been playing. And I got my game into some sort of reasonable shape. And, come the week of the championship, I wasn't sure whether I was doing the right thing or not. But it was certainly great fun being able to, rub shoulders with the best in the game and, use the practice tee and get myself prepared. And I got a few words of advice from Paul before I went off the first tee on Saturday morning. And
What were they?
he just said, look, you're on your home golf course and go and enjoy yourself. And, I was swinging quite well. So, once we got off that first tee, the following 35 and a half holes were great fun.
I know many of you in the audience, I'm sure. I know you play links courses. And if you haven't played links golf, what would the advice be to amateur players as far as playing a links course as opposed to, say, a parkland course?
Links golf is very different. I mean, it's played on a very firm surface. And not only that, but links golf courses tend to be at the seaside as well. So, you're at the mercy of the weather. The wind typically can play a major part in what goes on, when you're on the golf course. But it's the variety of shots that you're playing is the fun of it as well. And, an inland golf can be quite one-dimensional. But playing on links golf courses, you have to adapt and play different shots and, maybe use your putter from a lot further off the green than you normally would, or play little chip and run shots. And I think it's the ability to adapt to changing weather as well. And for some people, for them to understand that they maybe have to hit a 5-iron, and they're only able to hit 100 yards because of the wind. That's something that they have to get their head around. But it's great fun, and it, as I said, offers loads of variety.
I'm still trying to perfect the bump and run, but that's another story. Alison, can you talk about the commitment in golf in Ireland and the investment in golf courses and properties?
Yeah, I think, what you're seeing right across the island of Ireland is significant investment in all aspects of the golf tourism product. I think Paul had talked a little bit about it. So I don't think there's a golf course out there that hasn't had some kind of investment, whether it's in terms of course design, the visitor experience, the clubhouse over the last number of years. So I think that in of itself is testament to the quality of not only the course, and we're home obviously to one-third of the world's links courses, but to the visitor experience, which is obviously really important. The same applies also right across the board in terms of accommodation. We're blessed to have an incredible variety of different types of accommodation, and everything from the B&B to the guest house, the country inn, the five-star property, the castles, resort properties, and All of those have also had significant investment, and that continued, you know, throughout COVID. And again, thanks to government and business supports that were there. So the quality of the product right across the board, and then you have the attractions, the visitor experiences. So whether it's Titanic Belfast, that's just about to reopen, it's to spend $12 million reopening its galleries, the Game of Thrones experience, the new rugby museum down in Limerick, or other tours. Tourism matters to the Irish economy, tourism matters to the Irish government, and it's certainly being supported. So for anyone planning a trip, they can be assured that they're going to have a quality experience right across the board, from where they stay, where they play, where they eat, and certainly they're going to have a mighty crack, as we keep talking about. So it's a big commitment, and a tourism, after all, ultimately supports, you know, well over 300,000 jobs on the island of Ireland. And I think during COVID, people living in small towns and villages realised the impact and the importance of tourism when the tourists went away. The impact on the restaurants, the cafes, their businesses. So that's really important. And that commitment extends beyond the economic. As we rebuild tourism, and golf tourism is a big part of that, we want to make sure that the visitor experience is top-notch, but also the impact that those visitors have. It not only has a positive economic impact, but it also has a very positive social and environmental impact as we build back in a very sustainable way.
Talking about commitment and investment, you know, St. Patrick's Links at Rosapenna, very, very special, the new Tom Doak design, Adair Manor being refurbished for the upcoming Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask Paul, with his Ryder Cup experience as both a captain and a player, what do players look for in a Ryder Cup venue?
I don't want to give away too many secrets here. We're in America. certainly, as a captain, you've got the ability to tune the golf course and set up the golf course that may well suit your team. As a general rule, certainly in times past in America, they would cut the rough down to virtually nothing, and they would make the greens really quick, and they would try to create a shootout where, you know, loads and loads of birdies, because they were better with wedge plays than us, and they're the better putters than us. So they wanted this really low scoring environment, and that's what the kind of course setup that they wanted to do. Whereas in Europe, we were different. We felt we had better ball strikers than them. We hit more fairways, we hit more greens. We wanted a tougher test. So we would generally grow the rough higher, slow down the greens to really irritate them, and try to create a test that was a lot more challenging for them. So, I mean, that was kind of highlighted in 2018 in France when we played over there, when we had the rough that was unbelievable. American team was incredibly strong, and you know, we hammered them. They just were so out of sorts because they couldn't understand how they could hit it in the rough and not have a shot to the green. And then you look at what they did, certainly in Whistling Straits, and also what they did in Hazeltine, the Ryder Cup before that in 16, where, you know, Davis Love basically even took out a number of trees in order to open up the fairways as much as possible, and in order to create this low scoring environment. So that's what you do as a captain. But the big thing is the atmosphere. That's what you're looking for more than anything when you come to a Ryder Cup. Certainly playing at home, and I've been lucky to play in the K Club. I played two at home, one in the Belfry and one in the K Club. And it's a very, very different environment. It's a different mindset. It's a different strategy. And it's very, very different as a player. And your mindset's got to be right. And again, that's where the captain comes in. And playing away from home, I played away in Detroit. And that's a challenge. But in some ways, it's a fun challenge. You're going against, you know, 95% of the crowd that are very pro-American. And there's something nice about, your opponent holding the putt and the crowd going crazy. Then they go quiet again, and then you hold a putt as well, and then there's a quiet murmur and a God knows what they're saying underneath their breath. So there's something nice about that, going up against the challenge of playing away from home. So different mindsets for home and away.
I just can't wait for the Ryder Cup at Adair Manor. I just think it's such a special venue and town. It will be quite extraordinary. Now, Paul, you're from Dublin and your parents are from Donegal.
That's right, yeah.
So talk a little bit about the golf in both areas, because it's special in both Dublin, outside of Dublin, and in the Northwest.
Well, if I had a choice, it's Donegal every day of the week. As much as I was born and bred and raised in Dublin, and Grange was my home club in Dublin, a parkland course, and, you know, I'm very fortunate to be honorary member in a number of the courses, Portmarnock included there at the moment, and You know, great experiences, obviously, in the K Club. But the Donegal is where my heart is. That's where we spent all our holidays as kids. We've got a house up there and spent a lot of time up in that northwest part of Ireland. I think it's absolutely stunning. For me, it's the prettiest part of Ireland. If I can say with kind of due respect, it's like the southwest of Ireland was 25 years ago. You know, it mightn't have the full culinary experience, for example, that you would have down in the southwest. It's not as slick a commercial model yet than the southwest of Ireland is. It obviously doesn't have an international airport like Shannon does down in the southwest. So, you know, it's a little bit behind in that regard. But as Alison says, money has been spent in the right places. Money's been spent, you know, talking to people to try and move them out of the southwest and realize that right up that Atlantic coast there, we've got an amazing product to sell, and I can assure you anybody who goes to Donegal will not be disappointed. I absolutely love it, and the amount of golf courses we've have up there is amazing, and Rosapenna is the highlight one where I held the Irish Legends for the last couple of years, and a huge success. The players loved it. It's in the video there, one of the videos, and it's just really spectacular up there. And you can, again, you know, we're not just centred in the southwest of Ireland, as Alison will tell you. We're trying to create the whole island of Ireland. And, you know, you go up to Donegal, you're only next door, you're only 40 minutes away, half an hour away from Garry in Royal Port Rush. And, you know, before you know it, another hour later, you're down in Royal County Down. And, you know, so you can have a wonderful experience up there in that north coast just as much as you can the southwest.
And, yeah, in the west, Ballyliffin, Connemara, Carn, Enniscrone, Ross's Point, Nairn and Port New, Northwest. We played Northwest Golf Club this past summer, one of nine founding members of the Golf Union. Very special, yeah. Very compact.
Yeah, there's a great history in Ireland. A lot of the oldest courses in Ireland, Port Salon is another one, are up there in the southwest, or sorry, northwest of Ireland. It really is. It's something special. And those courses you mentioned too, as you go up that west coast, I think that's going to be the migration over the years as Ireland becomes more and more popular, even more popular, you know, and courses get sold out. And, you know, we got to facilitate members as well in these clubs in the southwest. You're going to start seeing people going up that west coast in particular. And then not forgetting the east coast as well, obviously the great, you know, products that we have around and golf courses we have around the Dublin area.
I want to get to Dublin in a second, but Donegal Golf Club, Critch Island, very special.
Yeah,
have you made the journey to Critch Island?
I have many times. Yeah, that's right beside where my mom and dad live. I mean, it's talk about spectacular. It's unbelievable.
It's definitely worth the adventure to get there. It's very, very special. Gary, talk about some of the courses around Royal Port Rush. You come and play, you know, Royal Port Rush, and there's so much in that area.
Yeah, we've got some smashing golf courses. I mean, Port Stewart is, you know, it's only 3 or 4 miles around the coast. Castle Rock just across the River Ban on the opposite side. Our own valley course at Royal Port Rush, which is under at the early stages of undergoing some alterations there as well, ready to raise the bar there. You know, moving a little bit further east, we've got a lovely little nine-holer at Bushfoot, and then right out to Ballycastle, which is quite often overlooked. It's a lovely blend of parkland and then some headland golf and some old traditional links holes as well. So there's lots of variety up there on the north coast.
And there's so much variety. And if you want to talk a little bit about Dublin and what's outside of Dublin, I know Alison, you spent a lot of time there, and obviously Paul's from there.
Yeah, I think the great thing about Ireland is, as Paul has alluded to, it's divided into different regions for the golfing experience. So, you know, you can beat yourself, you know, you can be Northwest and Northern Ireland, you can be in the Southwest, and you can be in the West. But you can also, you could beat yourself in Dublin or Belfast if you're looking to have, you know, a bit of an urban experience, if you're looking to play golf, but also experience other cultural offerings, and you want great restaurants at night and things. So from Dublin, I mean, you know, you can do a nice swing, and you've got the island, you've got Fort Monarch, you've got the European Club, lots of options there. And from Belfast, I mean, you're within an hour, no more than an hour. You can certainly get up to Port Rush in about an hour and 15 minutes. You can get down to County Down in less than an hour. If you want some parkland courses, Royal Belfast, parkland along Belfast Lock, the oldest golf club in Ireland, Malone, Beaver Park. But again, you can base yourself in the cities as well. And again, I think it sometimes depends on your traveling party. I think the groups of guys that are going golf, perhaps want to be out, you know, in the regions. But I think if you're traveling and you're playing some golf, but you also want to experience the culture and the nightlife and other things, Dublin and Belfast are good locations. Nowhere is too far, and increasingly we're seeing a lot of North American travelers staying in both cities and playing, you know, half a dozen courses from there. So it's another option. It's something else to consider when you're people are thinking about planning a trip.
Of course, the European Club, our buddy, a fellow sports writer, Pat Ruddy, right? Yeah, difficult layout,
yes,
but a lot of players will play that course before they play in the Open Championship,
yes,
right?
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
Podrick did that, yeah. When you won a number of PGAs, Irish PGAs there, which was the week before, you know, for a fraction, maybe 1/100th of the prize money that he was going to play for in the Open. But he puts down certainly his two wins in the Open Championship were down to, you know, cutting his teeth the week before and getting prepared on a Lynx golf course and a difficult one in the European Club the week before.
Mm. Paul, you've played at all levels, right? As an amateur, as a youngster, European Tour, PGA Tour, Ryder Cup. What are some of your special memories as a player?
I had a lot of them. I mean, I was very lucky. I never thought I was going to be a professional golfer. At the age of 19, I was about 4 or 5 handicap. I mean, Gary was a far superior, amateur record than I had. And I came to the game late. I was 25 when I turned pro. So I kind of came up on the blind side. I spent 2 years over here at college, and that's where I turned from a pretty raw amateur that wasn't even on the Irish team into being a good amateur and playing Walker Cup and then turning pro. And when I did get on tour, I didn't know I was going to last. I thought I'd be on 1 or 2 years and have a bit of fun, and then I wouldn't quite hold it on. But, you know, one thing led to another. My game improved. I got some good coaching. I was well-managed and I had a lot of grit about me. Maybe not a huge amount of talent, but I had a lot of grit, and that's what kind of drove me more than anything. But I think, you know, certainly I'm aware now that, you know, most people know me from my performances in teams and certainly in golfing teams, not alone that I win the World Cup for Ireland. With Padraig, we're the only Irish, along with Harry Bradshaw and Chris O'Connor Senior, to have done that, which is a huge thing, breakthrough for both of us in 1997. But I played in 14 teams for Europe or Britain and Ireland, whether it be the Royal Trophy, captained by Seve over in Asia, or it was the Seve Trophy itself, which is Britain and Ireland against continental Europe, or whether it was Ryder Cups. And between all of those, it's 14 times I was part of a team, and 13 we won. So I've been very, very fortunate and blessed because, as everybody knows, you might be a great team player, but it's your teammates around you. So I was very, very lucky to be in an incredible era. When you think of all of the greats in the game, and certainly from a European context, from Seve to Faldo to Langer to Woosnam to Lyle, right up to Rory McIlroy, Monty, Sergio, Westwood, wherever you want to go, I've either played with or been captained by every one of those. I've learned a huge amount from all of them, and, you know, that culminated in what I did as a captain in 14. But I've been very, very lucky to be a part of a great era and great success as part of teams, particularly when it comes to Ryder Cup.
And what prepared you for all the banter on the Golf Channel?
When you're in the European team room, there's plenty of that, believe me, in the caddies. I had a caddy called Edinburgh Jimmy. Obviously, he wasn't Irish, but the best way to describe him you knew him, Gary, I'm sure.
Yeah,
Edinburgh,
yeah.
Jimmy, and everybody knows him in golf, wherever Tiger Woods down, no matter, everybody knew him. He was a larger-than-life character and larger in size as well, too. Unfortunately, he passed away a few years ago, but the way you liken him is, if the caddies were a mafia, he was the godfather. And he had some incredible sayings, and he was the greatest character that I've probably ever met in golf. And he was so funny. But he was, you know, a tough Scot. And if there ever was a problem, whether it be a drinking problem or a girlfriend problem or a divorce problem or a player not playing a caddy or misbehavior or something, when Jimmy got involved, it got sorted. And in the team room, I had him... as my caddy master, if you want to call him that. His role was not just to be there and be a figure of fun, even though he was that. His job was to make sure that the caddies didn't consume too much alcohol at night. And one of the players' caddies did consume a little bit too much one night, and Jimmy told him to go to bed. And he told Jimmy what to do, that he would make his own decision when he was going to bed. And next thing you knew, he was on the floor, lying down, looking up at the ceiling. That wasn't exactly what I wanted Jimmy to do that week. But anyway, we got the problem sorted. He went to bed, and his player went on to have a great week. That's the kind of stuff in team rooms. You know, that's why I love being part of a team. Like the point I made earlier, being part of... teams growing up in Gaelic football and hurling and soccer really helped me when I got into a team environment myself, and I absolutely thrived on it. I loved it. I went to a different level, and my energy levels were different. I felt different, certainly performed better as a result of it. I lovely thrived on it, and one of the things that's been really fundamental, I know we talk about it a lot, was the crack behind the scenes and this banter, and the caddies were very much part of that.
I have a great story about, we haven't talked about the Southwest yet, and Alice and I want to, you know, make sure we mention Dunebag and Lahinch and Tralee and Belly Bunyan and further south to Dingle and along the great wild Atlantic Way, Dukes and the stunning Old Head and Waterville, Killarney. There's just so many golf courses, and if you're planning a trip to Ireland, it's hard to do everything, right? So, Alison, how do you recommend, you know, specializing? What's your secret to planning the most productive trip to Ireland, golf trip?
Well, I think the best advice I can give anybody, because I think sometimes when people are planning a trip is they don't know where to start. So it's actually to talk to one of the specialist golf tour operators. Commercial message, we have a great group on our stand here at the PGA show. And I think all of the golf courses you've mentioned are pretty much represented. But think about, you know, how much time you have was it a first time trip or a second time trip. But just engage with one of the tour operators. So and we've got many on the stand today because they can take the pain out of all of this, and they'll put together an itinerary for you, they'll consult with you, they'll talk to you, and they can adjust it, tweak it based on your interests, you know, whether you want to drive yourself, whether you want to drive a guide, what type of accommodation you want, how much golf you want to play, how much fun you want to have in terms of the crack, the bars, the meals, the restaurants. And I think that's the best way to go. And then depending upon your time, I mean, I would recommend, you know, if you've got 7 to 10 days, you can certainly take in a couple of regions. So there's no problem with that. Also, just think about, you know, flights and things. The good news is Ireland is really easy to get to. It was before COVID. It's even easier post-COVID. And as we head into, obviously, this summer season, we're going to have flights from 15 gateways across the US. The new gateway is Cleveland. To Dublin. Shannon is back for a lot of the golfers wanting to go straight into the Southwest. Aer Lingus have New York and Boston, and United have Chicago to Shannon as well. So easy to get there. So I would just work with one of the tour operators. And also, again, do some planning in advance. Go on to ireland.com. There's a great section on golf there. Think about what you want to do and see. And remember, it's really easy to combine other aspects of a trip to Ireland. So if you're golfing, depending upon your party size, what their interests are, you can feed that into your request with a golf tour operator. So whether you're talking to North and West Coast Links, I see John at the back there, or Brendan from Swing, or some of our car golf, we've got All Access, GT. There's lots of golf operators here. They can all do an excellent job, and I would recommend that's what most people do, because most golf tours are customized anyway, from an itinerary perspective. So
I don't want to forget Ardglass. They made me an honorary member, and I'm very proud of that. Years ago at Dunebag, before the resort was even built, I'd stay at An Tin Ton, right in the village of Dunebag, and we'd go to Comerford Pub. And so I want to give a shout out to Patrick, who sat in this certain stool every Wednesday. And I, you know, coming from New York, I was so excited to be in Ireland, and I'm in the pub, and everybody, I said, who has the best voice here? And everybody pointed to Patrick. And I said, Patrick, you don't know me, but my name's Ann. I'm from New York. Do you mind singing Oh Danny Boy? And he looked at me and kind of sized me up a little bit. And he said, okay. And he did a rendition of Danny Boy that was just so beautiful. It brought tears to my eyes. And what I love about, you know, Ireland, you know, we can talk about the essence of golf. It's not just the golf. It's the soul of the game, and it's the hospitality of the people, and it's just the beauty of the people. He sang his heart out, and now every time I go to Dunebag, I go to Comerford Pub, and there he is in that stool, and I ask him to sing, and I love the fact that everybody in the pub is quiet, and they give the respect to the person who sings. And it is just so beautiful, and that is part of this essence of Ireland, and so more than the physical golf, you have, you know, you have the people and the hospitality. And so I'd ask all three of you if you would talk about that essence of golf, the soul of Irish golf.
Yeah, I love that conversation. I love that story. I think that's what Irish people are known for. Authenticity, fun. We really do have a sense of fun about us as Irish people. We're very proud of that. We love talking about the crack, as they say. We love congregating in the pubs. We love sharing stories. We love to tell stories. We love to talk. I think you just kind of covered exactly there what Irish people are like and what we like to do. And one of the reasons, you know, you could argue that, you know, the product that Scotland has, for example, is better than Ireland. And certainly when it comes to championship venues for the Open Championship, obviously they've got a lot more in Scotland than we do have in Ireland. But, you know, why are we so popular now? And I think it's as much as the product is terrific in Ireland in terms of golf courses, it's the people. It's the people that's making the difference and why we are on such a surge. Our doors are very open and everybody is welcome. And the only thing I'll add is that Alison gets a word with the Taoiseach there to put a few hundred million into building an airport in Donegal and extending that and bringing people straight in there from America would be fun. As I say, the infrastructure is getting better and better, and the investment in the fundamentals is coming in more and more and more. The product is getting better, certainly if Ireland was a stock in the next 10 years, I'm buying it. I really am buying it, and particularly buying the Northwest. I think that's the hidden gem that's going to flourish and flower in the next 10 years, and I'm really buying stock in the Northwest of Ireland in particular.
Well said. Alison, you're Irish. Talk about the essence of golf in Ireland, of golf.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's been covered, but I just think it's the passion. I'm obviously, and you talked about the accessibility of golf. I mean, people grow up playing golf, and it's a very accessible sport. Unlike, you know, often in the US, it's more of seen as an elitist sport. I think just people are passionate about the game. They're passionate about all sports. But ultimately, probably don't take it too seriously at the end of the day. You have fun on the golf course, but ultimately, you know, you have fun off the golf course. And I think that comes across with visitors when they visit with us. Doesn't matter where you are on the island of Ireland. It is the crack factor. It is the complete package. It's all of those ingredients brought together. Yes, we've got great golf courses, as Paul has said, great accommodation, great variety, but it is really that unique brand of hospitality and the welcome and just connecting, I think, people and place and that authenticity. I think everyone's passionate about what they do and what they deliver about it. And I think, golf and other sports are no different. You know, people are passionate about rugby or Gaelic or anything else. They love their sports. But what we offer, I think, around the island is unique. And I do think that's a key differentiator between ourselves and Scotland. We know people like to alternate. But we've also, you know, you hear about people saying, well, bucket list, I have to go to Ireland, I've got to have that one golf trip to Ireland. And often that one golf trip to Ireland becomes an annual pilgrimage. You know, they have to keep going back with different friends and the people they meet in the pubs and the musicians and the conversations they strike up. Some of those people become lifelong friends as well, you know. So I think it just goes beyond the golf. Love the golf, but we come back to that same point.
Absolutely. You had mentioned earlier just the variety of accommodations from the B&Bs that have so much charm to, you know, the estates. Mount Falcon is just such a wonderful spot. The castles are so different. You know, it's just such a variety that you can go back so many different times and have a completely different experience, not only on the golf courses, but on, you know, as far as accommodations go.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got the resort properties like the K Club and Loch Earn and Drumoland. You've got the castles, obviously, with Drumoland and Ashford. You've got, you know, beautiful five-star properties in Dublin, the Merry and the Fitzwilliam, the Culloden and Grand Central around in the Belfast area, B&Bs, Airbnb, you've got everything.
Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and it is my pleasure to say hello to John McLaughlin, CEO of North and West Coast Lynx Golf in Ireland. John, welcome to Sports Interview.
Hello, Anne. How are you? Good to be here.
Good to have you on the show again. I know you just returned from an electric PGA show in Orlando, Florida, and there certainly was a tremendous buzz and excitement in the air. What are your thoughts after returning from the PGA show?
Yeah, we had an amazing show. I suppose we kicked it off with the Irish Golf Day at the start of that week, and we had a record number playing in that. Tour operators, members of the media, A lot of the Irish golf trade came over and played in it. So we had 112 players, and it was a fun day, but a great day to get to meet everybody. Show itself was I thought, busier than last year, which was great. Last year was good for us too, you know. So there is a great buzz about travel at the moment, a great buzz about Ireland, and we're glad to be a part of it.
Well, talk about the properties you represent in North and West Ireland and what they have to offer and what makes them so special.
Yeah, so I suppose our company name, North and West Coast Links. We kind of specialize in the Links product, although we market and sell golf all over Ireland. The demand is there for Links golf. We're based in Galway. One of our courses, I suppose, the closest one to us is Carn, in the west of Ireland, and I know you know Carn well. Then we have Enniscrone, just north of that. And we've taken on a new course this year on Strand Hill, which is a lovely links golf course just south of Sligo. And then moving on to Donegal, Port Salon, Ballyliffin, which hosted the Irish Open a few years ago, Castle Rock, Port Stewart, another Irish Open course. And then we have Royal Port Rush, and the venue again for the Open Championship in 25. And heading south into County Louth on the east coast. And then we took on a new course this year, another one from the east coast, Portmarnock Links. The stable is growing, which is great. And, you know, people are interested in getting involved and having us do the international marketing for them and then in turn delivering them business.
Well, Paul McGinley was talking about the north and west part of Ireland. In fact, his parents are from Donegal, and he just raved about that area. So I know it's a very popular place to visit amongst the Irish, and I love going there. I just hope it doesn't get overly busy, John. What's the possibility of that happening?
Well, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. There's so many great golf courses along the whole West Coast, you know, from Connemara in the west of Ireland, through County Mayo and Sligo, and then, as you said, into Donegal. You could come to Donegal for 2 weeks and play a links golf course every day. And as you know, there's only 150 links golf courses in the world, and we've 33% of them in Ireland. So Donegal is a haven for links golf, and you have all the developments there with Nairn Port New, Ross Apennis, St. Patrick's, and then, as I said, our own Port Salon, Ballyliffin. There's a great stable of links golf. Critch Island is also a lovely nine hole up there, and it's amazing for a nine hole course. It certainly is popular, and the product is really good, and the hotel side of things, the rooming end of things, it's very high end as well. So you know, you're talking about the Mount Falcons, Harvey's Point, the Ballyliffin townhouse. And then there's a new hotel in Derry called the Ebrington. And if you remember our good friend Cecil Doherty, who used to manage Ballyliffin, John Farron took over from him afterwards. But Cecil is developing that hotel now in Derry, and really beautiful hotel opening in June of this year. And we look forward to that.
Well, let's start with the accommodations. As you were talking about the variety, you know, from the B&Bs to the estates to the castles. We stayed with Alan at Mount Falcon, and just talk a little bit about Mount Falcon and what's available there for golfers and for families.
Yeah, Mount Falcon is it's kind of a special hotel. It's a family run. Alan and his good wife Evelyn and their kids. So it's an estate, as you said. They have the hotel itself, and then they have lovely lodges, surrounding the estate. There's 2 miles of the River Moy going through the property, and it's one of the most prolific salmon rivers in Europe. So, you know, that's a great add-on to golf. Golf and fishing kind of goes together very well in Ireland. And then you have archery and clay pigeon shooting and all of the other good stuff. They have a driving range there as well. They've just won an award for their food. Their chef has just won an award this week. Another one. So their food is exquisite as well. It's a great offering. And that's the kind of hotel that we like to put our golfers in. We like to put them into somewhere where they'll be looked after, where it's kind of very personal service. Same thing in Harvey's Point in Donegal. It's a bespoke boutique hotel there too, on Loch Esk. and into the Ballyliffin townhouse, where they have done a huge development last winter. And they have a new spirey open there, and that's very nice, and it's a great addition to that neck of the woods.
There's so much variety, not only with all these accommodations she was talking about, but say you're based at Mount Falcon, then you can do these trips to play all these courses, which are what, within 2 hours, right?
Yeah, well, even within an hour, you have Cairn is an hour away, and when you're visiting Cairn, there's a great culture and heritage site called Cage Fields, and that's definitely worth visiting. And then there's there's Downpatrick Head from a scenic point of view. So there's lots of stuff to do, even when you're going to and coming from the golf courses. Inniscrone then itself is only 20 minutes away. And then Strandhill and County Sligo are both within an hour. So yeah, four great golf courses close to Mount Falcon from Harvey's Point. So all of those hotels, you can play 3 or 4 golf courses depending on where you're staying. We didn't even get to touch on the likes of the Bushmills Inn in Northern Ireland. From very close, you can play Royal Port Rush, Port Stewart, Castle Rock. So that type of hotel, the Slieve Donard in Newcastle, literally out the back door of Royal County Down, and Ardglass close by as well.
You mentioned Cairn. It's a very unique dune landscape. How would you describe Cairn to somebody who's not visited there before?
Yeah, Cairn is on the edge of the world. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. It's way out there. It's got a unique, Eddie Hackett designed the 18 holes, and then they did some work again on another 9 in the last couple of years. So they have 3 9s, so they can do all sorts of variations. And what's proving really popular is the Wild Atlantic Dunes course. So it's an amalgamation of the 3 3 9s, making the real Championship 18, and that's gone down very well. Their Greenview business is up, which is great, along with Inniscrone, which is close by as well. And those two courses have probably the highest dunes in Ireland. I mean, they're amazing. You get out there, you're lost. All you can hear is the sea, the larks singing overhead, and it's a great escape.
Just an incredible escape, and what an adventure to play that beautiful golf course. Royal Port Rush will be hosting the British Open Championship in 2025, so soon after having it in 2019. And Shane Lowry, what an incredible victory for the Irish. It was just a magical, magical year, championship at Royal Port Rush. And now they're going to be doing it just in a few more years. So that's, I guess, the indicators there are all positive that it just went beautifully.
Yeah, it was one of the most successful. And obviously they've come back. So that proves that point. It was great fun. The atmosphere, as you remember, was amazing. And I suppose to have an Irishman win on home soil was special and unique. We just produced a new brochure this year, and Shane agreed to come in and do the foreword for the brochure. And he's such a nice guy, he always helps us with our marketing. I'll be out of the Honda Classic in 3 weeks' time, and we'll bump into him there, I'm sure. And he always makes time and has a chat and all of that. Maybe I might even caddy for him. I think he's looking for a new caddy. So Dan, I'll fight you for that job.
That would be a bit of crack, right? Is that and brochure? I love how you say brochure. I'll have to remember that. We say brochure.
Sure. Yeah.
Accent on the second syllable, but
I'm not sure what the right pronunciation of it is, but we're on brochures anyway here.
Honda Classic will be there, so I look forward to seeing you there. And I think you should caddy for Shane. Wouldn't that be fun? So Strand Hill, I remember doing a TV show in Strand Hill years ago, and just another wonderful course along the Atlantic. Most of these golf courses just have beautiful views of the Atlantic Ocean, right, John?
Yeah, I mean, they're all, the nature of Lynx Golf is they're right on the ocean. And the scenery is fantastic. The beaches are just beautiful. Us Irish, we despite what you think, we do a lot of sea swimming, and beaches are a very important very, very important part of it. I did go swimming on Christmas morning, and that was a little chilly, all right. But
what was the temperature of the water?
Oh God, it was about 8 or 9 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
But it was fine. Actually, wasn't bad. And it's invigorating. But it's not for the faint-hearted.
I love the Irish attitude. So good to hear. Now, when you want to play these courses in North and West Ireland, what's the best city to fly into?
A lot of the flights come into Dublin at this point. Shannon Airport is very handy as well. So either Shannon or Dublin, we find that most of our people are flying into Dublin, and that's fine. So it's to cross Ireland is about 2 hours. So we'll organise, depending on which route you go. If you want to go north first, you can play in Port Marnock Links or play County Louth, and then head across to Port Rush and pick up the few courses there, and then across to Ballyliffin and down the west coast. And we do book golf all over Ireland. So if people want to add on a couple of nights somewhere else or a couple of rounds, we do all of that as well. We're in business for 35 years at this point. We're a long time on the road. We know the product very well. We know all the people involved. And I suppose that helps when we're trying to get those tee times that are difficult to get. So it's been a bumper couple of years, and we're looking forward to 23 and 24 as well.
John, on the panel, we spoke about the essence of Irish golf, the soul of the game there. And it's just so beautiful there. The hospitality of the people, they welcome Americans. They really want everyone to have a great time, and they go, overboard to make everybody feel welcome. Talk about what that means to you, the soul of the game in Ireland.
So I think Irish people in general, we're a very welcoming people, and we do love to see visitors coming. And we understand, especially in these links locations, they're remote in a lot of cases. And, in a lot of cases, they're the only show in town in some of these lovely villages along the coastline. So people really appreciate visitors when they come. The other side of it is everybody in Ireland plays golf. So it's not for one particular category of person. Everybody plays in Ireland. And I think maybe that's part of the success of all these guys that have done so well on the tour. They've grown up in these remote locations. They've played a lot of wind golf. They're used to the elements, and they can put it all together then when they get on tour. The locations, the golf courses themselves, and then, as you said, the people and the welcome.
And the accessibility, as you mentioned, is one of the key reasons why you have so many successful champions coming from such a small country. How do we get a hold of you, John McLaughlin, and North and West Coast Links?
Yeah, so we have a nice website with, actually have a look. We have a lot of great video of our golf courses, some of the courses that you wouldn't have heard of. Look them up on our northandwestcoastlinks.com, and just send us an email on sales@northandwestcoastlinks.com, and we would be delighted to put an itinerary together. It's great to have someone here on the ground that knows the area. We can deal with any issues that arise. We've been doing this for a long time. We know what works and what doesn't work, and we'll give you good advice and put something very special together for you.
John, we've been friends for a long time. It's just such a pleasure to know you, and thanks again for the donations to the Anne LaGoria Foundation Charity Golf Classic. Every time Americans go over on one of your trips, they just rave about it, and so continued success, and look forward to getting over there again this year.
Thank you, Anne, and I know you're gonna come over again this year, and we can discuss your itinerary when we're at the Honda Classic, and we'll figure it out.
Can't wait! Thanks so much. My thanks to Tourism Ireland, Alison Metcalf, Paul McGinley, Gary McNeil, John McLaughlin, Mike Goodsound Production, and to you, our loyal listeners. One of the most wonderful things about visiting Ireland and golfing there are the friendships you can make that can last a lifetime. I leave you with one of the many Irish sayings on this particular subject. May love and laughter light your days and warm your heart and home. May good and faithful friends be yours wherever you may roam.
Have a great weekend. Be kind, be safe. And I look forward to talking to you next Saturday morning right here on Sports Interview with Anne Liguori.